Welcome to My Father's House Podcast, episode 385, What Do You See? Minister Tanya Schnitz delivered this message on Sunday, September 8th, 2024 in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Extend your hand to God because he said this is a healing service today. So as I speak, as the word is preached, just be receiving. This is absolutely detrimental to your health. You got to get this vision that we're going to talk about today. And he gave me a vision of exactly how this is going to look like. So as we go through this service, I just want you to say, the healing is mine. The healing is mine. I am healed. I am healed. I am healed. Everybody on social media, I am healed. Be saying it. I am healed. I am healed because of the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. Yes, get excited. Hallelujah. Jump around. It is ours. It is ours today. Hallelujah. Today is the day of salvation for all of this church. He said, everybody in this church today, everybody watching on social media, he said, today is the day of salvation for you. And the word that he exactly said was MFH is a place of healing. The whole body of Christ in this place needs to be healed. So we have a revelation of it to minister to the rest of the body outside. This is God's heart. So today's the day of salvation. Today is your healing. Be calling it out. I've already called out a lot of you that I know what your ailments are. I've been calling them out this morning as I received this revelation. So you call it out. It's yours today. There's knees, backs, mental, emotional. Did I say knees? Yes. Eyes. Yes, I called out Juanita's eyes. Yes, Lord said yes, Juanita, today. Yes, I called out hips. I called out shoulders. I called out body pain. I called it all out. It's already done. He's already done it. You have to see it. You have to see it for yourself today as I preach the word. It's happening. It's happening, and I'm so excited to tell you that. Yes, hallelujah. Let's get started. Who wants it now? Hallelujah, hallelujah. All right. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for just manifesting yourself in our bodies today. Thank you for being in our presence today. We feel you here. We know you're here. You are worthy for our praise. You are worthy for everything. It's by your blood and your sacrifice that we can receive this glorious thing today. Forgiveness and healing. Forgiveness and healing, both of them today. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Use my lips, Father God, to just speak your word. The anointing goes forth out of my mouth during this service. Thank you, Jesus. Just manifest in their bodies. In your name we pray. Amen. All right. What do you see? This is the message title today. What do you see? And I'm going to say it a lot because I want you to remember my voice annoyingly saying, what do you see? We have to see something. Faith is a verb. You ever know that? Faith is a verb. There's an action here. And we need to do something with it to see God move. Because that is the vehicle that he chose to use to release his power in our lives. He wants us to see with our imagination. He wants us to act with our bodies and do what we need to do. This is how God chose to do it. So in Galatians 3:5, in the ESV version, it says, does he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you do so by works of the law or by the hearing of faith? In the NIV, it says, or by you believing in what you heard. You know, we hear with our ears. I had a message 4 weeks ago, maybe, on what you hear. Be hear and be healed. Well, it's not only that. It's hear and see what he's telling you to receive. There's this step in between that's very important. And we need to believe what we hear. We need to hear with our faith. What is that revelation? Faith comes by hearing and hearing through the word of God or the word of Christ. Romans 10:17. What is he saying? He's saying that he's speaking to you in your spirit and he wants you to get a vision of that. Okay, it's not only just looking up scriptures and quoting them. It's getting a revelation of that scripture in your spirit. It only takes one. Yes. If you get that one, You've got it. This is really not hard. The church makes it hard because for years they just preached grace, grace, grace. Everyone's forgiven, but they didn't include the healing part. The healing part is that it's same as forgiveness. You get a revelation of forgiveness. You get a revelation of your healing. You've got it. You've got it. It's inside of you already. The phrase means that faith comes from believing God's word, which is the essence of receiving the promises that are available. It means that you trust him. Do you believe the word of God? Yes. Then why are we walking around sick? Why? Why? Because his word says we're healed. Why are we walking around sick? Why are we letting the devil have us? Doesn't that make you mad? Doesn't it make you mad when you got a pain in your body? Let's get out. Take authority. He's given us all authority. I want you to believe that without a shadow of a doubt. You say, get out, and he has to go. Go now in Jesus' name. I just bind up all doubt and unbelief in what I'm saying in the name of Jesus. Get out of this building. Go open the door. Slam it shut. You're out of here. Doubt and unbelief, go now in Jesus' name. Woo! Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Pastor. Yeah. Yeah, that was a vision. He got it. Hallelujah. It's out. It's out. It's out. So let's go. Let's listen new. Okay? Some of these scriptures, some of these things you've heard before, I want you to listen new. I didn't bring my Q-tips today. That was last time. This time I want you to see it. And I didn't bring any visuals because I want you to see it. God's speaking to you, and it has to be in your spirit what I'm saying. So it's you today. Renew your faith by hearing this message with refreshed ears. All right, Jeremiah 1, 11 through 13. Jeremiah was a young prophet. He was brand new at this, and God came to give him a training lesson. So this is what he said. The word of the Lord came to me. What do you see, Jeremiah? I see the branch of an almond tree, I replied. The Lord said to me, you have seen correctly. For I am watching to see that my word is fulfilled. The word of the Lord came to me again. What do you see now? And this went on and on and on. God himself was training Jeremiah how to see what he was revealing to him. And he's teaching us that today. How do we see what God is teaching? So this was his very first lesson in being a prophet. And you know what? Jeremiah had to receive a message to speak before he could speak it, right? He had to see it. Amen. Right, Elizabeth? You have to see it. Amen. So we have to have that revelation from God. I can read the word all day, but if I don't have a revelation on it, it doesn't come alive to me. It's not going to come alive to somebody else. So before you can make an impression on someone else's heart, you have to have an impression in your own spirit. So what do we have to do? We have to ask God for it. We have to ask him. Show me that vision, Lord. I want to sit with this, and I want to get a vision of this. We need this spiritual vision to grab a hold of healing. So in Jeremiah's vision, the significance of the branch of an almond tree was important in two ways. First, the almond was well known as the first tree to bud in the spring. This indicated that God was ready to quickly fulfill his word, just as the almond tree seems ready to bud. We have to see what is awakening in our spirits. Now, my spirit hasn't been very visual for many years. I just read the word and read the word. And all of a sudden, I realize it's seeing a picture to go with it. You have to get a picture of what he's saying to you. Who wants new awakenings in their life? You have to ask for it. God, I need more. I need to see more so I can move in this. All right? The second point is the Hebrew word for almond tree is close to and derived from the Hebrew word for watchful. And this word is used in God's response to Jeremiah, meaning God is watching over his word to fulfill it. He is watching over his word to perform it. He's waiting. He wants to perform it. And it is springing forth with new awakening in your life. Just ask for it. Is he not a good God? Is he not a good daddy? Is he not a good father that gives you what you ask if it lines up with his word? So, God, I need to see these things. I need to understand what this scripture is saying. I need to see what you're saying about my body being healed. I need to see that, God. He's waiting. He's waiting, and he will love it when he hears you say, Daddy, would you please show me? Come on, take his hand. You see a dad and a little kid walking along. He wants to learn. He wants us to learn. He wants us to teach. Did you know his mercies are new every morning? So if we failed yesterday, chuck that day out. We're on the new day. What do you see today? What do you see today? What are you focusing on? What are you seeing in your heart? What is God showing you? We were created with an imagination. That is the ability to picture something in your heart without using your eyes. God created us to think in pictures because a picture is worth 1,000 words. So God says, be like a little child. These kids in here, they can imagine all kinds of things. Don't squelch that, because that's the beginning of us understanding things. They get a picture of something. That's why when it doesn't go their way, sometimes they're like, wait, I saw it this way. Yeah, mom and dad said, no, we're going this way. But God the Father says, you see it the way I want you to see it, it's going to go that way. Hallelujah. All right, now we're going to take this to the Bible. God had promised to give the Israelites their own land after they'd been walking around in the desert. We're in Numbers 13. He said it was going to be good. So in Numbers 13, they had arrived at the promised land, and the people wanted to spy out the area to see what it was like first. Moses agreed, but this wasn't part of God's plan. He had told them he would give them the land. Did you know that? Did you know when they sent spies in, that wasn't God's plan? God said, well, this is what you want to do. It says in Deuteronomy 1:8, I have set the land before you. Go in and take possession of the land that the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, to give them and to their offspring after them. That was God's plan. Did you hear that? He said, go in and take possession of it. He didn't say, go spy and see if you can do it. He said, go do it. Yeah. Go get it. It's yours. Take it. I love that I learned that. Because when you're reading it in Numbers 13, it says the Lord told Moses to do this. So you think that that's what he was saying. But when you really look in there, he didn't tell Moses to do that. He just, okay, this is what you kids want to do. You go ahead. This turned out to be a really big mistake, because it brought in doubt and unbelief into the whole nation. If they would have just trusted God, they could have warded off a whole lot of problems coming up. How many of you have experienced that already? Yep, if we just would have trusted God, we could have spared ourselves 5 years of something. Pastor said 10 years for him on something. We could have spared ourselves a whole lot of problems. But God allowed them to choose their path, and then he gave instructions to Moses to pick one leader from every tribe. And that would represent the whole nation on this mission trip. So I'm going to be jumping around in Numbers 13 and on into 14, starting out with 26 to 28. Numbers 13, 26 to 28 says, they came back to Moses and Aaron and the whole Israelite community at Kadesh in the desert of Paran. There they reported to them and to the whole assembly and showed them the fruit of the land. They gave Moses this report. We went into the land to which you sent us, and it does flow with milk and honey. Here is its fruits. But the people who live there are powerful, and the cities are fortified and very large. We even saw descendants of Anak there, which are the 7 to 9 foot tall giant people. Okay, so their report at first was, yes, it flows with milk and honey. Yes, look at this fruit. It took two men to carry this bunch of grapes that was coming out of the land. But what did they focus on? That they saw the giants. So it says in 30 that Caleb silenced the people before Moses and said, we should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it. He was on the mission trip. And he had faith, and he stopped everyone. I mean, can you imagine getting up in front of 1 million people and saying, no, don't believe them. Don't believe them. That's what I'm trying to do to you today. Don't believe what your body's telling you. It's lying. It's lying to the Word of God. It feels real, but the Word of God says it's not. The Word of God says, I've already healed you. The Word of God says, put in my word. I say, go in and take possession of that pain and cast it out, right? So Caleb stood up there and said, we can do this. We can do this. But the men who had gone up with him in 31 says, we can't attack these people. They are stronger than we are. Well, this pain in my body is stronger than that. This cancer is stronger than that. This back pain is stronger. This eye problem is stronger than what God says. Is that a lie or what? That's a lie from the pit of hell, as we like to say. So in 32, it says, and they spread among the Israelites a bad report about the land they had explored. They said, the land we explored devours those living in it. All the people we saw there are of great size. We saw the Nephilim there. The descendants of Anak come from the Nephilim. We seemed like grasshoppers in our own eyes, and we looked the same to them. So what was their vision? What did they see? Grasshoppers, little ones. These things are huge. We're just little grasshoppers. We're just little. And how did they know what they look like to them? That's a lie. That just came from what you perceived. They perceived that they look like grasshoppers to those giants. This is the same way the sickness in your body is doing. It's perceiving to your mind that you can't conquer it. It's sending you those messages, we are way bigger than your faith. That's not true. That is not true. All right, now I got to get over to 14. All right. So we go to 14:1. That night, all the members of the community raised their voices and wept out loud. We can't do it. We can't do it. This is too big. Yeah, please don't take a video. It's just too big for me. I can't handle it. I mean, I've done that myself. I did it for 30 years. It just took me. It was like a big wave, a tidal wave, hurricane of the storm that took me under, and I believed the storm. Don't believe your storm. Don't believe it. Get in the boat with Jesus, and you'll ride it out. So here they are, complaining, groaning, whining. All the Israelites grumbled against Moses and Aaron, and the whole assembly said to them, if only we had died in Egypt, or even in this wilderness. Oh, that's a curse they just put on themselves right there. We'd just rather go back to Egypt. We'd rather just die right here in the wilderness. Is that what you're feeling? I just want to give in. I'm just sick of this. I'm tired of this. I don't want to do this anymore, God. Fine, I'll just succumb to it. It's just too hard. That's what they're doing. And that angered God, by the way. We'll get there. Number three, this is them continuing. Why is the Lord bringing us to this land only to let us fall by the sword? Our wives and children will be taken as plunder. Wouldn't it be better for us to go back to Egypt? Now, did God say he would do that? Do you think our God is going to sacrifice those babies that he brought out of Egypt and allowed them to move in the desert all this time? Is he really going to say, nope, let's let them take the women and children. I just want you men to be saved. That's not God. That's not God at all. So they're really making up a story now. Their vision has carried them so far, they've got God being the bad guy. He's not the bad guy. He's the good guy, but we blame him. We blame him all the time. Well, I guess he made me have cancer so that I'll seek him more. I guess he made me go through this so that I can learn something. Those are lies. He doesn't want to have to put you through sickness to teach you anything. He's got his word to teach you. He did it already. He sent his son to die so you could learn from him without being sick. Amen. We do not need to be sick to learn anything. Amen. Yes, we learn in it because we did our consequence thing and we took this route. Yeah. So anyways, they went on and it said, wouldn't it be better for us to go back to Egypt? And they said to each other, we should choose a leader and go back. Okay, so much for Moses, right? That's who God chose. Let's just not do that anymore. Let's not follow him. Let's do what we want to do. Well, does that sound like God? No, God has us in an authority system and we are being obedient to our leaders. Hallelujah. So we go to verse 5. It says, then Moses and Aaron fell face down in front of the whole Israelite assembly gathered there. Those ones they don't want to follow anymore got on their faces to intercede for them. Oh, God, forgive them. They don't realize what they're saying. They're just hurting. They're just grieving. They're just grumbling. Forgive them, Lord. We'll stand in the gap and we'll pray for them. Just like Greg Locke, you brought him up. Greg Locke, they're praying for the people that did that. That's what good leaders do. Praise the Lord. So now we hear about Joshua in 6. Joshua, son of Nun, and Caleb, son of Jephunneh, who were among those who had explored the land, tore their clothes, which in those days was a sign of grief. Not that they don't like their outfit anymore. They tore their clothes and they're like, what? Oh, these people. Why don't they get this picture? How many of you feel like tearing your clothes sometimes because I'm trying to tell you something and you're not getting it? Yes, bless them, Lord. So they said to the entire Israelite assembly, 1-2 million people, the land we passed through and explored is exceedingly good. So we have two men speaking that it is good. God said it was good. It is good. If the Lord is pleased with us, he will lead us into that land, a land flowing with milk and honey, and he will give it to us. Only do not rebel against the Lord, and do not be afraid of the people of the land, because we will devour them. Their protection is gone, but the Lord is with us. Do not be afraid of them. That's what I'm telling you today. Don't be afraid of what's coming onto your body, because it's just Satan trying to take you down. No, don't let him. Get violent with your faith. We have to be violent. And violent doesn't mean we battle every day. No, we get violent with the word, the vision that he's given us, and we stand. That's what it means. We stand violently and say, no, Satan, you're not taking me down. No, I don't care if you have to say it 50 times a day or more. Pain, get out of my body. Pain, get out of my body. Right now, in Jesus' name, you're not allowed to be here. I'm being violent about my land. You can't have me. And I prayed that this morning, no hip pain. And I'm up here, woo, woo. If you see me, try to stretch because I don't have pain because I cast it out today. Got violent with my faith today. And we stand and we stand and we stand. We rest in what the Lord said. But we stand for our land. Okay, don't be afraid. In 10, but the whole assembly talked about stoning them. Okay, here they are on their faces with torn clothes, four men. We got a million people ready to stone us. Jesus, guess what happened? The glory of the Lord appeared at the tent meeting to all the Israelites. So you know what? When he told me today was a healing message, I went, oh God, do I release that? Do I trust you? Absolutely, I do. And that's why I told you today is the day, because he told me that. So I'm telling you all, it may not look like that to you right this minute, but keep visioning. What does that look like? What are we going to receive today? Are you getting excited? Like, it's going to happen today. Today's the day. Today's the day. We already kicked the doubt and unbelief out, so today's the day. The Lord appeared and backed these men up. There's only four against a million. The Lord backed them up. He's going to back us up today. So the Lord said to Moses, how long will these people treat me with contempt? How long will they refuse to believe in me? In spite of all the signs I have performed among them, that's the Lord speaking, I will strike them down with a plague and destroy them. But I will make you into a nation greater and stronger than they. So God's angry. He said, I'm going to strike down all of them and I'm just going to leave you guys and we'll move into something better. But Moses didn't allow that. He said, no. And I didn't want to read through all of this, but Moses said, no, God, if you do that, what are the other nations going to think? Like, you brought these people out, you've limped them along to here, and now you're going to kill them? What are the other nations going to say about our God? Do you really want that to be the impression in the land? God is good because he listened to Moses. In 20, he said, the Lord replied, I have forgiven them as you have asked. So interceding prayer is very, very important. God hears our prayers and he calms down because he's a good God. He loves us. He's merciful. But he does get upset when we continually do not take what he has for us. He's like, my child, I just want you to be well. I mean, think of how many times you've wanted your kid to do something and they just won't do it. And you're like, but it's better for you. But they don't listen. That's God. So 21, nevertheless, as surely as I live and as surely as the glory of the Lord fills the whole earth, not one of those who saw my glory and the signs I performed in Egypt and in the wilderness, but who disobeyed me and tested me 10 times, not one of them will ever see the land I promised on an oath to their ancestors. No one who has treated me with contempt will ever see it. But the good news, this is us today, 24. But because my servant Caleb has a different spirit and follows me wholeheartedly, I will bring him into the land he went to, and his descendants will inherit it. So all those other naysayers that didn't believe in the word of God did not receive. They did not receive the promised land. They did not receive the promise of all the good, because they didn't open their hearts and get a vision for what that looked like from God. So if we skip all the way down to 30, he says, not one of you will enter the land I swore with uplifted hand to make your home, except for Caleb, son of Jephunneh, and Joshua, son of Nun. Two men got to receive. Two men got to go in. How many's in this room today? I think I counted 26 or so. How many people are going to receive today? Come on, I should see way more than two hands. I should see every hand. Every hand. The promise of God is in the room. He's here. His glory is here. He's backing me up. All right. So your imagination is your spiritual womb. Now, we all know about conception, right? It's in the womb. So to conceive an idea, you have to conceive a vision in your spirit. You hear something from the doctor, you get a picture. Immediately, oh, I'm going to die. No. That's natural to think that, but you got to put a different one in there. What does that look like? What does healed look like for what you just heard? What does healed look like? That's what you got to get. We have to learn how to release the power of God from within us using our imagination that he gave us. Okay? You got to get that vision in your womb, your spirit, your spiritual womb. People can pray for you every day, but you need to be able to have your own faith working for you. I'm not in the doctor's office with you, right? You are in there with God, and you've got to say, that doctor's lying to me. That's not what I'm going to receive. I'm not going to receive that. I have a different picture of what that looks like. You have to use your imagination for conception of the vision that God has given you in your heart. It will carry you a whole lot further than someone else praying for you. Your vision of you getting healed. Now, it may be a process, and you may have to continue to hone on that vision, to continue to build on that vision. But you got to get that minute when you hear something, you got to get a vision of what's that going to be in my life. Now, the guy I listened to that was teaching some of this, he has an amazing testimony. He went to the hospital. He had symptoms. He went, and he was told he was dying that day. He had to get a vision really fast. Like, I don't have 6 months to die. I'm going down right now. And he said, no, I know the word of God. And the word of God says, that's not my life. And he started building that conception in his womb, his spiritual womb. And the picture got brighter and brighter and bigger as he continued to proceed what he had to do. And you know what? He didn't die. He didn't die. And he's still preaching and teaching because he had a good vision. Yep, you got to get the vision. So here we are, Hebrews 8:10. This is the covenant I will establish with the people of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. I will put my laws in their minds and write them on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. He's talking about the new covenant. He's speaking into our hearts. It's not a law anymore. It's a covenant Jesus paid for. It's a covenant that is yours. You have to get the vision of that covenant in your spirit. Conception is quiet. It is a still small voice. But you meditate on what you think you heard, and more will come, and more will come, and more will come. If it doesn't agree with the word of God, it's going to get really huge and ugly real fast. But the word of God, it will come with the word, with the word. If you're seeking a healing, do you know that healing takes place at the moment of conception? Just like when a woman is pregnant, it's from the minute she's conceived. That seed is inside and the baby starts to grow. That's when the healing happens, right then. That's why you can't wait until you get the lab work to see if you're healed. That's why you can't wait to say, have the doctor say, okay, now you're good. You have to have the spiritual vision seed in your womb conceived and ready to grow. And it doesn't want to be dormant because we want this to happen, right? It is the moment you hear from the Lord and see yourself healed. And if you're not used to doing this, you got to work at it a little bit. It's not always easy. I've had to work at that too. So you get a vision of what it looks like. You have to see the healing, not what the doctor says, not the time frame the doctor puts on it. It's what you see the Lord's told you in your heart, in your spirit. You get it. He'll show it to you. And the person, Barry Bennett, he saw it right away. No, I'm not going to die. I'm going to live. I'm going to live. And then as the time went on, it took him a year, but as the time went on, he kept getting a clearer vision with the word and with the visions that God was giving him to grow in that. And one of the ways he did it, he was watching his area. This would be his pulpit area at the Andrew Womack College. And he said, I'm watching there from my sick bed. And he's going, that's my pulpit. I'm supposed to be there. That's mine. Not that they're not supposed to be there, but I'm supposed to be there too. So he said he started buying clothes online for the day he got back up there. He said, there was some funky clothes I bought. I got rid of them. There might have been some drugs involved. But he had cancer treatment and all of that. But he said, I am wearing the shoes that I envisioned and bought. So his vision had action. He continued to buy what he thought he would wear when he got up here. Right? So, but the healing happened when?
Conception.
Right. The minute he saw it. The minute he saw it. That's when it happened. And then he had to continually hone the vision into more and more and more. Matthew 12:35. It says, a good man brings good things out of the good stored up in him, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in him. So what is the treasure in your heart? What is your heart seeing, doing? If it isn't all of God, it isn't lined up with God, then it's really simple to work on it. To work on it, keep putting the word of God in, keep praying, keep meditating. God will bring the treasures in your heart stronger and stronger and stronger. Yes. You know, if you put the offering message to what I'm talking about, you want to be the first guy that did everything with what he heard and what he had, and it produced a great crop. So are you seeing healing and health, or are you seeing sickness and death? Because remember, a cold is the beginning of death in our bodies. A cold. If it wasn't for the fact that Jesus made us to heal from a cold, that would produce death in us. Sickness is death. Sin is bad. That's what the fruit of sin in our lives is sickness. And so when we're sick, the fruit of what we see can go to sickness and death, but we have to change that vision. What are you bringing forth with what you see? You have to see it. If you're underneath a blanket and you can't see a thing, you better get that blanket off of you. Get that shroud off of you so you can see. Words create a vision in us. What are you hearing? You will believe what you hear. We need to watch what we are feeding on. Don't be watching all them commercials about the drugs.
Come on, man.
They'll have you dying before you finish the 30-second commercial. I mean, come on. And they whisper it, right? So you want to listen even better. What are they saying? What? It could cause what? Oh, Lord, help us. I don't watch commercials. That's exactly right. We need to spend time consuming the Word of God and be around people who value the same thing we do. Amen. Right? We have to watch and listen to what they see and speak. I trust you in this room to speak and say the right things to help build me up. And I want to do the same for you. It says also that we have to check out what we're saying as well. What are we speaking out of our mouths? It can really take us down quick, really quick. If you don't like what you've heard, get a new word. Get a new vision of it. I don't like what he said. I'm not going with that. No. Rebuke it, absolutely. So doctors' reports, families' comments, visitors' words, replace the negative with what God says. Now, how many of you change your air freshener when it's out? You replace something when it needs a new one, right? These bad words, these bad reports, these bad comments, or what people think they think you're supposed to be doing, that's all needs to be replaced. Yeah. Check it out. Get new. It is worth it. It's worth the few extra minutes it takes you to put a different word in there. It's worth that. Isaiah 26, 3 and 4 says, "You will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast because they trust in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord himself is the rock eternal." Okay, the word says to trust. If we're reading this word, do we trust God? Because if you trust him, you're going to have peace in your heart. Even though Barry saw himself or heard from the doctor he was dying like that day, he trusted God. He trusted God and God's word because the word is the rock. The word is eternal life. And he said, "I trust this. I know what you're saying, but I trust God. I saw it. I'm going to live and not die. And I trust God." That's what we got to do. He got a peace in his heart. Okay, I'm going to have to go through this treatment, but I have peace in my heart because I conceived that I am going to live and not die. Pretty powerful testimony, right? Faith hears, it sees, it speaks, and then what? It acts. We have to do all four. We have to hear from the Lord and get a vision of what he said, and then we speak it out of our mouth, and then we act on it. Speak the truth over your situation until you see it clearly. Use your spiritual eyes to see the fruit of abundant life. That's what he promises you, right? Abundant life. Do you feel abundant in your sickness? No, I don't. I don't. I'm like, this isn't of God. Why am I having this? This isn't abundant life. This isn't the goodness of God. Get out of my body. Here we go back to violent faith again. Right? Get out. So don't look at your symptoms. Look at your future. Take captive every thought and make it obedient to God. My future says, I will live and not die. I'm going to go with that. So let what he has spoken to you affect your imagination. Some of you might need to practice that. I think we will. Believe the vision and you will see his goodness. Take the time to see a vision for your future, your family, your kids, your health, your finances, all of that. You know, that's what meditating in the Word does for you. When you get a vision of all the areas of your life, and that's what you have in your mind, and then it says the enemy comes to attack, what do you say? No, that's not what I saw. That's not what God's Word said. That is not my life. I'm sorry. I'm not doing it. Return to sender. I got my future. It's already in me. I already see it. I already see being blessed. I already see having that child, or having my children saved, or having my finances restored. I already have a vision for it. I'm not taking that lie. Get out, get out, get out. Stick to what God has spoken to you in your heart. Amen? Don't be a victim. We get into that. That was the children of Israel. Wham, 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 wham. Victim. We have to see what God says, not what we're feeling. Not what we think, because I can't tell you how many years I wasted sitting there thinking about how bad my life was It was bad, and it was bad, and it was taking me down, and I can't get out of it, and I'm stuck here, and I'm all by myself, and oh, my golly, I was on a roller coaster of depression. And it took me for a lot of years. We don't have to live like that. I didn't know any better, but I'm telling you, so now you know. We don't have to live like that. We can get something different. I don't have to be a victim. I can rise up in my faith. That's what I love about faith. It's your vehicle, and it can take you right out of that hellish place. That depression, that anxiety, that emotional bull. And he sees you, okay? God sees you. We want to see ourselves as God sees us, already healed because of his son. Our identity in Jesus Christ gives us everything we need for the perfect healing. When you understand who you are and what he did for you, and you meditate on that, you meditate on those wounds, how they were put on his body, how he was broken for you, how can you not receive healing? I see the blood. I see the gashes from the scourging. I see that stuff. I mean, watch the movie, The Passion. Can hardly stand to watch it, but he did it, so I got to watch it. I'm kind of glad they put it to that. It gave me that vision of just scourging across his body. And then he carried the cross on top of that those open scourging wounds. Imagine how much that hurt, splinters inside of those wounds. That's why when I get a little boo-boo, I'm like, this is nothing compared what he did for me. Boo-boo heal. Yeah. Okay, so I'm just going to read three quick scriptures. Proverbs 23:7. For as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Proverbs 4:23. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Colossians 3:2. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. So right there is just three of them. If you're having trouble getting some scripture to hang on to, there's three of them right there. That's what the word says. The Lord says to do. Why aren't we doing it? You know, when Moses went ahead and said, all right, you guys can go in and take a look. He just set them up for failure. He did. Because if they just would have hung on to that, God said, go in and you will conquer and take possession. It would have happened. But instead, Moses said, go ahead. And guess what? Moses didn't get in either. We have to see something to do anything. I thought this was pretty funny when I heard the guy say it. You can't find your way back home unless you see it in your heart. You don't know where you live, you're not going home. You just got to see it, right? I turn here, I go this way, I got to go around that tree, I got to go around that bin, watch out for a deer. Okay, I'm almost home. That's my way home. You can't find your car in the parking lot unless you've seen where you left it. If we all go out the front door, we're not going to find our car. We have to remember that we left it out there. I saw it. I parked next to Elizabeth, and I backed in this time. That's the vision. That's what I did. That's what I had. I don't normally park there. All right, moving into the story of the woman with the issue of blood. Are y'all doing okay? Am I giving you too much, too fast? All right, keep eating. In the story of the woman with the issue of the blood, this is where we're going to test our vision, okay? Some of you have already worked on this anyways. Mark 5, 27 to 29. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak because she thought, if I just touch his clothes, I will be healed. So I want you to close your eyes and picture that scene. Okay, now some of you have already meditated on this one, so you're a little ahead of the class, but close your eyes and picture that woman. She has brown hair in my picture, because I used to have brown hair. She's got to do some things here. She heard about Jesus healing people, so the first thing she had to do is find out where he was. I got to go find him. Did she put on sandals? Did she have on a clean dress? What does this look like in your picture? Some of you are experts at vision, so you got all kinds of glitter on her and all that other junk.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know who you are. But okay, but you got to have, she had to see something. She had to see that he was somewhere, right? So she had to start picturing where he was. Okay, he's on the main drag in Nazareth or wherever. So she had a vision created in her heart when she heard about his healing power. She heard about it. She had to go find him. And then she had a vision of it. Was it that I need to punch him in the nose? No. Was it that she had to bow at his feet? No. What was her vision? What did it say? She had to touch his garment. For her, that was the vision she saw. I'll just sneak in. And in my vision, because of hearing the word, she had to be crouched down because she was touching the hem, which was low. And she wasn't supposed to be there. She was bleeding. She wasn't supposed to be there in public. She wasn't supposed to touch a man. She wasn't supposed to touch a rabbi, for heaven's sakes. But in her vision, I just need to touch the hem of his garment. Yeah, exactly. Pressing in. So when she saw him, the next thing she did was she spoke out the vision of her heart. She didn't say, I got to punch him in the nose. I got to go touch his ear. She said, if I just touch his clothes, I will be healed. Just touch his clothes. That's all I got to do. And her vision got even more. I just got to scramble through these feet to get there, to touch the bottom of his clothes. And then she did what she saw. She didn't hesitate. She could have. She should have. She should have thought, I can't do it. It's too hard. There's too many people. I'm bleeding. I can't do it. Everybody will be mad at me. Everybody will find out what I'm doing. Everybody will find out. But I'm desperate. I got no more money. I've been to everybody, and there's nothing left. There's nothing left. So she gave it up, threw it in the wind, and says, all right, I'm going to do it. That's where we're at, some of us, right? Like, we're just sick of this. It's just time. It's just time. So it's pretty great that he said today is the day. Today is the day of salvation. And the word says, it says immediately her bleeding stopped and she felt it in her body that she was freed from her suffering. She was rewarded for her faith. Did your vision have her healed? Because you know the story. You saw her, what does she do now? I mean, it doesn't say we can do whatever we want. She could have been jumping up and down, waving a flag like I was doing. She could have just started yelling and screaming. She didn't. She wanted to be quiet about it because if anybody knew who she was. But what does faith do? It hears, it sees, it speaks, and it acts. Guess what she didn't do? She did not quote scripture. Oh, that's going to hit some people. She did not quote scripture. She had a vision. She had a revelation of God in her heart. And the picture was, I'm going to go do that. And that's what she did. She didn't even have time. She didn't have scripture to go by, except for the Old Testament. But she had a vision from God. That's all she needed. She didn't have to search and find and go 15 scriptures a day. It helps when you're building your vision. But she had the conception, and she went and did the conception. It's all in where you're at in your process. So what's your vision for your family, your finances, your healing? That's the treasure in your heart. If your vision is your vision is what you will get, good or bad. So what are you expecting? Perfect time to pause on that for a second. Your vision is what you will get. So you better make sure it lines up with the word of God. John 14, 13 and 14 says, and I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name and I will do it. He said, ask in his name. Are we looking at what God has promised you in the name of Jesus? Because his name is all good. If we're looking at something else and not God's way, don't try to justify it by your own thoughts. Our own thoughts get in the way, like this one. Am I worthy to be healed? Does it say in the word that it's asking you that? It doesn't. It doesn't. It says he did it for all. He did it for all. So that's your own thought. That's not in Jesus' name. That's in Tanya's name. You got to really make sure you're lined up in Jesus' name. When you are speaking in Jesus' name, is your thought lined up to Jesus? Because if you're saying it and it doesn't, it's not happening. But are you worthy to be healed? Of course you are, because you are the righteousness of Christ. And all sins were already paid for by his blood, and healing too. We just need to see it. John 16:24 says, ask, and you will receive, and your joy will be complete. How many of you are going to have joy when you don't have that pesky pain in your body, that pesky thing going on, that pesky thing that's trying to tell you that you're not worthy, trying to tell you that it's not yours, it's trying to tell you it's not been done? We have to receive God's will in our heart to see it. Watch what you speak and check your heart. If you need healing, ask God and get that vision in your heart. Go to a doctor if you need to go to a doctor, but be sure you're in peace about it. So hopefully I'm not going to run over here. I've got a lot. But the testimony of my elbow, you know, when I fell, my elbow cracked on the door frame. I didn't think go to the doctor. By now my faith is growing, and I saw the healing in the Word, and I asked for the Bible, and I started putting some scripture on it. I did do physical therapy, but I didn't end up with surgery. I wasn't put in a cast or a sling or any of those things, and I received my healing because that's the way I saw it. You have to see yourself well. Follow the plan that he shows you. The doctor is not your enemy, so don't resist. Just do what God tells you to do. So when I was having cancer treatment, way before I had strong faith, I was grabbing hold of my faith then, but not as well. But I had already had surgery and radiation treatments. And I heard from the Lord 2 years into the follow-up treatment, and I chose to no longer go with the doctor's plan, which was 3 more years of going every month and taking all this extra medicine to ward off anything coming. I heard from the Lord, and I said, I'm not doing this anymore. And I was free. I received the rest of that, and I don't even go get mammograms. So if God tells you to go to the doctor, then go in faith. Don't be in fear to go seek help for your healing. There should be no guilt or shame, but only peace. Following what God tells you to do brings peace, his peace. So when I had a lot of mental and emotional issues, I heard from the Lord that I no longer needed counseling from a human because I had the Holy Spirit. So I quit counseling after 25 years. Then I got off all the medications for mental illness and said goodbye to my psychiatrist after 19 years because the Lord told me it was time, that that was all ridiculous. I didn't need to be spending money or time anymore. And I grabbed a hold of that and I got rid of it all. So listen to God, go with the vision that he gives you, and then move in it. Okay? Because it's good. It's good. Last year, when I got off muscle relaxers after 30 years, I had a skin rash. I chose no doctor, and I used this scripture, Matthew 8:3. Jesus reached out his hand, and he touched the leopard and said, of course I want to heal you. Be healed. And instantly, all signs of leprosy disappeared. It took me 9 months, but that word healed me. So it's what he shows you to do that is important. There are many, many, many testimonies that people have out there of how they got it. Some is divine, supernatural today. Some of it's later. But I'm telling you today, he said, today's the day. So be prepared. Be in expectation. So Mark 9:23 says, if you can believe, all things are possible to those who believe. Peter's shadow healed those who believed, right? They heard he was coming and they believed his shadow would do the healing. So they brought the people out. They got healed. The people that took their friend on the rooftop to lower him down because they believed there was power present in the room below. Did he receive his healing? Do you know the story? Yes, he did. He received his forgiveness of sins first because he didn't believe that. But that's what happened first. And then his healing happened and he got up off the mat and walked. It's because he believed it. Those friends saw it. They had a vision. They tried to get in the door. It didn't work. Guess what they had to do? Like, what else will work, God? And they saw the roof and they said, let's do that. It was that quick. They saw it. They did it. Jairus believed Jesus could heal his daughter and he saw him raise her from the dead. Right? Because the woman interrupted and she died before they got there. But he got to see her raised from the dead because he believed Jesus was the power. He was the healer. He was the Messiah. And he saw it. He saw even more than he thought. Be ready for more. The Roman soldier believed Jesus could heal his servant by speaking a word. Did it work? Yes. Just believe. Just believe. See yourself well. See yourself sickness free, pain free. Close your eyes. See it. See it. See health. See healing. Choose to see the goodness of God in your life. See yourself living life to the fullest, abundantly, richly, and see yourself as a son or daughter of the King. Get that crown, straighten it up, put it on. You're wearing those royal robes. He has clothed you in royal robes, not the garments of the grave, not the sickness. He has clothed you in his robes. Some people, they're glittering. Some are not. But the robes are on because he's given it to us. They're royal. They're royal. Mine's royal blue. I don't know what color you're wearing, but royal blue robes. I think they're beautiful. I'm covered in them. Yep. Somebody said white. Some say gold. Whatever it is, you are a daughter of the King, a son of the King. So a key to healing, what you hear needs to create an image in your heart. You need to maintain that image by getting a word from the Lord. Get that vision, and then the power comes. So if you see that lovely garment that we just put on ourselves, if you see that, the power comes after you see it. He says, you're my daughter, you're my son. There is power in that robe. Are you wearing your robe? It's yours. Choose to see God's goodness in your life. Get the right stuff in your heart, not the worldly ideas, so that you can be healed. We were created to be visual people. Psalm 37:4, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. And if you're taking notes, there's 4 points. 1, see a vision. Find a scripture to go with it. See the vision and find the word to go with it. It's in there. If your vision does not have a word to go with it, then you might need to change your vision of what God said, because it's in there. 2, meditate on a scripture until you see it fully playing out in your life. Meditate on the promises of God and what do they look like for you. So when Barry Bennett was told he had cancer, in that moment, all he had to see was himself well, and that was the beginning of his healing. That's when it took hold. And then he continued to put the scriptures in over it and say, no, that's mine. And he got violent in his faith. And as he's throwing up or having to go to cancer treatments, he said, nope, this is not my life forever. I'm just going through this to get rid of it. My God said, I'm going to live and not die. Okay. 3, take time to see your future. You want to see your future so you can tell the enemy, that's not my life. When something bad happens, ain't happening. That's not who I am. I don't see a royal robe in that picture. No, that's not me. That's not me. I'm in the righteousness of Christ because of his blood. And 4, walk in God's goodness and in his shalom peace. If you don't have peace about what's going on in your body, then you got to change something to get in his peace. Because his peace is where the goodness is at. His peace is where the life is. Okay? If you're not having peace, then something's not right. And you got to find a way to get right. And that is in the word of God. In the vision in your heart. God is done. He has already accomplished everything for you through Jesus Christ. Amen. He is done. He has done his part. It is now your turn to see it, say it, and do it. We are members of the whole body of Jesus Christ, and I see us all being healed today. We are the body of Christ. The head has told us, I'm done it. The head has said, the healing is yours. The head has said, body be healed, line up. We are the members. We are united. We are the members of the body of Christ. And what he has shown me today, I hope you're excited, as we are going to stand, and I've got it drawn out in little cute stick figures because I'm not a drawer, but he shows me arm in arm, hand in hand. He said the healing power will flow through his body. He is Jesus. He is Jesus. He is the head. And he wants you all healed. We have to be healed so we can go out and show the world something different. This is a healing center. This is a healing center. I want you to have a vision of that. We are taking a healing master class. We are pushing in. We are pressing in for healing. And he said, today, I want to heal everyone. So when you walk out that door, you tell them this is the healing center. And they come back to receive. Can you do that? Can you promise to give a testimony? Can you promise? Because he said, by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony. Amen. Amen. So what I want you to do in faith is be excited because my spirit's jumping for this. I want two lines like the Red Sea. I want two lines facing each other, hand in hand, arm in arm. Hand in hand, arm in arm. I know this won't show up well on video. I don't really care. Sorry. You face each other. This is the Red Sea. It's been parted. The healing is right down the middle of this line. Everybody grab a hold. It's hand in hand, arm in arm. We are the body of Christ. We are the body of Christ. The healing goes through the body. It comes from the head. It starts in the mind. It starts down and it goes through and it touches every single person. Now I just want you to meditate on that. Close your eyes. The power of God. The power of God is going to start and it's just going to go right down the line. Hallelujah. Feel the power of the Holy Spirit. Feel the power of the Holy Spirit. Feel him. Feel him. Just going right through each one of you. Each one of you. The healing of God. The healing of God. The healing of God. Let him reach through the whole body. The whole body. Arm in arm. Hand in hand. Hand in hand. Eyes be healed now in Jesus' name. Hand in hand. Arm in arm. United. The body is together as one. Jesus Christ flows through his body. He flows through his body. He flows through his body. Be healed now in Jesus' name. Receive it. Receive it from the top of the head to the bottom of the feet. Be healed. Be healed. Thank you, Jesus. Arm in arm, hand in hand, power flowing through the body. He flows through his body. He flows through his body. He flows through. He flows through. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Flow through your body. Thank you, Jesus. Healing every cell, every organ, every body part. Thank you, Jesus. Be healed. Be healed. Be healed in Jesus' name. We command all sickness to go in Jesus' name. Go, sickness, go. You're not allowed in the body. In the body. In the body. The body of Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Arm in arm, hand in hand, power flowing through the body, through the body. Hallelujah. Receive it today. Receive it today. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Even you on social media or podcasts, thank you, Jesus. You are a part of our body because you're watching us. Hallelujah. We're touching out. We're reaching out to you. Flow. Flow now. Healing power through the camera, through the speakers, through the microphone. Touch them, Lord. Touch them, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, that after we preach the word of God, the miracle signs and wonders follow. We are right here at the Red Sea. The sea has parted and faith is on either side flowing through the body. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. He is the healer. Glory to God. Glory to God. Now, if anybody feels in their body right now, they receive something, come up and tell me. Come up and tell me your testimony right now. Feeling the healing through your body. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Grab a hold of it. Come and tell. Come and tell. It's happened. It's happened. The moment of conception has happened. Who's received that today? Who's received it today in their spirit? It's going to grow. It's going to move. It's going to continue. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. By the blood of the Lamb and the word of his testimony. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. By your wounds, we were healed. It's already been done. Thank you, Jesus.
My shoulder is healed in Jesus' name.
Hallelujah. Woo! Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you for testifying. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 You got one? Somebody else, come on up. Give the testimony. Give the testimony. Thank you, Jesus.
I receive total and complete healing, and I rebuke every lie that is in my body, that the devil is trying to make me believe is a permanent situation. And it is gone in Jesus' name.
Amen. Hallelujah. Get violent with your faith, Donna. Stomp your foot on the head of the snake. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for testifying by the blood of the Lamb and the words of their testimony.
I am healed in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Guess what? Freedom.
Yes. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is good. God is good. Hallelujah.
Thanks for listening to this episode of My Father's House podcast. We hope you'll subscribe to hear our latest updates. My Father's House is a non-denominational Christian church located at 5712 Bass Road in Fort Wayne, Indiana. We invite you to visit us by checking schedule information at mfhfw.org. At our website, you can also support the work of My Father's House with your tax-deductible donation. We pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers.